Welcome back to your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. Dogs are weird little guys. On this episode, Bob recounts a tale of his neighbor's dog, who is not all there. That's a nice way of putting it. Then we discuss one of the oldest tropes in romantic comedy, something we're all familiar with and we know too well. Definitely not something I made up on the spot. Enjoy.
My neighbor's St. Bernard is like Cujo. Barks like crazy, gets all over the place when you walk by. His owner is a lovely human being with two young boys who is constantly yanking on the leash to keep him from getting out or getting away. And pulled into the cul-de-sac today, literally with this Great Dane, one paw arm out the window on the side of the car, head sticking out the window, just watching everything. He looked like he belonged on the prow of a boat. It was really an amazing thing to see. It made me laugh. I stopped my bike and I stopped to have a conversation. That's what I learned. This dog, I think, has brain damage. He used to have seizures, and so he's not fixed, because if they put him under anesthesia, then it will mess with his chemistry and he won't be able to stay on that chemistry.
Stay on the medication that he's on?
Yeah, so he's going to have to, he's just can't be fixed. Which makes him crazy when he goes into heat. And he aggressively goes after his owner, who has to remain as still as possible, or he bites aggressively. And I'm like, I think it's time to do something different. And I would never tell anyone what to do with their animals. And I haven't told my neighbor what to do with their animal. But it seems to me that when you get to that point, where you're being assaulted by your dog and... Or you're going to be further assaulted by your dog.
Yeah, that's some mannequins. Well, pillows. It. Pillows would probably be better, but put your clothes on the pillows.
And then just leave the dog to do whatever the dog does. I don't think a dog's going to be fooled by that. I think, I mean, dogs aren't smart, but they're not quite that dumb. Maybe.
They're pretty dumb.
Okay.
They can't even see... in color.
Have we proven that? Is that
We've
true?
We've proven that.
Do we dream in color?
Do they dream in color?
Do
I remember there was a Stephen King book. It was one of his children's books. And there was a dog along with the main character, the hero. And the dog smelled in color. So he knew the owner because it was a certain shade of blue that he smelled. So that was fun.
Smelled in color. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I understand that concept. But I love stories with smart dogs in them.
Yeah.
You ever read the book Watchers by Dean Koontz? Okay, he discovers the dog is smart when the dog starts spelling words with Scrabble tiles, writing him a note about who he is and where he came from.
The dog?
The dog.
Where he came from?
Yeah, he came from a laboratory.
Oh.
I've given away too much if anyone hasn't read the book. It's a very old book. It's more than 30 years old, maybe more than 40 years old.
And every story has some sort of component of someone coming from a laboratory that's been enhanced in some way. Name a story that doesn't. Every rom-com, you could assume one of the two main love interests has come from a laboratory.
Okay, Shakespeare in Love. Who came from a laboratory there?
Ben Affleck.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna give you The Goodbye Girl.
I don't know that one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a really good movie. You should
probably
check it out.
The Girl.
It's
she said goodbye to the laboratory.
That's a Neil Simon play made into a movie starring Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh my gosh, Neil Simon.
Marsha Mason.
That's all he wrote about. Biloxi Blues.
Laboratory.
Oh, so many laboratories in that one.
I'm going to have to explore these. I'm going to have to read a little bit more about these things just to get
So
a
what
sense.
Happened was, it was like every laboratory was so explicit, like every story had it so explicitly in the text. It wasn't even subtext.
Are you talking metaphorically about the laboratory of the writer's mind?
They just started putting it down a little bit, and so you just assume that one of the people is from a laboratory, because of course.
You just assume. Not everybody. Not
everybody. This is a common practice in storytelling.
The laboratory.
The character from the laboratory.
There's
man versus man versus nature, laboratory versus man, laboratory versus nature, laboratory versus laboratory, Labrador versus laboratory. There are a number of other stories, but really it's those six.
That's it. That's the whole, you should be teaching this, I think.
I have tried. I will go into classrooms constantly and try to teach them.
And only to be escorted to the
very
sidewalk.
Politely to leave.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it works in schools nowadays. You know, you show up to tell a story and you weren't invited in the first place.
I'm looking wistfully out into the distance to my own laboratory experience that I want to share someday.
And see. I learn a lot as Nick's podcast partner. I'm not sure the actual value of his lessons, but they're always interesting and often strange. And those are two things I look for in life, interesting and strange. Those words describe most of the people I choose to associate with and all of my family members. And that suits me just fine. That does it for this episode of The Dose. We hope your weekend is full of interesting and strange. We'll catch you next week.